The text
of our message is found in John chapter 4, verse 35 and 36. John 4, 35, 36. Say not ye, there are yet 4 months, and then cometh harvest. Behold, I say unto you, lift up your eyes and look on the fields, for they are white or ready to harvest. And he that reapeth receiveth wages and gathereth fruit unto life eternal, that both he that soweth and he that reapeth may rejoice together. The Lord add his blessings to the reading of his sacred word. The time is now, and the historical setting for our message tonight, I'm very sure you all know, is the Lord Jesus Christ having spent a good hour speaking to the woman of Samaria about her soul's salvation and how she gladly received the Lord humbly. And while the Lord was speaking to the Samaritan woman, or when he had come to the end of his speech, the disciples came from the village of Sychar bringing him food. And Jesus said, I have meat or food to eat that ye know not of. Yes, the Lord has many good things for us to do, to our blessing. But oftentimes we are too lazy, we are slumbering, we do not have the wavelength of the thinking of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. So he revealed to the disciples their very natural interpretation of things. All they saw was a harvest, not the harvest, was a planting of the wheat field or corn fields. And for the planting to ripen, it will take 4 months. But they did not see that there is a harvest of souls, which Jesus rather saw. And because of the woman of Samaria who had heard the words of everlasting life from our Lord and Savior, she was so impelled with the joy of salvation that she went back to the village and told the people, here is a prophet, here is a Messiah whom I've met. And as a result of her testimony, the people came to hear Jesus, and practically the whole village found salvation in the Lord Jesus Christ. They were waiting. And there are those who are waiting today for us to go and harvest. Don't say, oh, it is still all right. We are just marking time. Everything is peaceful. And that also will affect our livelihood, our ambition, and how oftentimes we set our affections on things below, on earth, and not on things above. So the Lord said to them that the harvest of souls is even white. What does it mean? When the wheat is in full bloom of ripeness, it is a golden color. You must quickly reap it. But if you wait, perhaps for another few days with the summer heat on, then it is over-ripened. And then there is no good. It dies. How many times have you eaten bananas? And they are just in the fullness of ripeness. It's the sweetest time. But when you delay for another 2 days, they begin to water. And now the taste is quite different. When I was in the States, a farmer friend brought me to his house to stay at night. And then he said, well, you can stay here and have a good time and go and sleep, but I've got employed a lot of college students who are on vacation, and we have a great harvest of lettuce. You know, the Americans like to eat vegetables fresh, and the lettuce with mayonnaise, and they can make these sandwiches. It tastes very sweet. But he says, if we don't harvest it tonight, and we harvest it in a few days' time, it will be over-ripened and become white, and then it becomes bitter. And the whole harvest of thousands of dollars will be lost, completely lost. So we have got to harvest it while it is still young enough and not over-ripened. So the Lord Jesus Christ wants us tonight, as you go downtown, as you go to the World Trade Center, all are going to Batam. Everyone rushing. And we are also with them. We are going to enjoy ourselves. Yes, we are going on missions. But the reason is not so much that we have seen the harvest of the Lord. Today, if there is any travel program and package tour, anyone will come. And I am a tour operator in a sense. And I try to bring my people there that they may see the goodness of the work of the Lord in the mission field, and that their hearts may turn to the Lord to see as the Lord sees. Tonight, this is your annual missions night, and there is going to be a report on Batam, which I thrill to hear, because it was the Lord who sent Sister Roscoe there, and I got the dates and mix, and got it wrong. I thought it was 1989. She said, no, 1988. And in 1988, Batam was still very, very green, was still just beginning to develop, which is quite different today. And as we have been there, we see really the harvest field is white, and it's important for us to go and reap, as the Lord Jesus Christ here tells the disciples. You think that the harvest will come in 4 months, but I tell you, there is a harvest of souls white, dying. For if you do not go and reap, and then they will perish, and the opportunity is lost. I would like to apply the words of the Lord Jesus Christ for us, as you realize the time is now, in two aspects. First of all, is home evangelism. The white harvest is not only in our city or in our immediate context, it's everywhere. Everyone can do this work for the Lord. The first thing is tracting. At Life Church, we have got a rack for tracts, and I'm very happy to see that the tracts disappear very quickly because members are taking them and giving out. And I have a most wonderful testimony, and one that will surely thrill your heart because you know this person. When he went to Kulai Besar in 1973, and we bought over that corner house and started a church, Reverend David Wong, he was a young man at that time, suddenly came to me. I did not know him. He said, Pastor, I would like to become a Christian. I want to be baptized. Well, I asked him, how is it that you came to know the Lord Jesus Christ? And he said, one of your young ladies here who goes to school with me, she gave me a tract. And upon the first reading, I was so gripped by the message. I realized I needed a Savior. I realized I was lost. And I believed in Him right away. Now today, Reverend David Wong is a very effective worker. And I praise the Lord for a young man who has been trained also at the Farisan Bible College. And only last year in December, I went with him to Sabah in the process of dedicating a church, which was started by a BP member, a convert from his church. So, in order to reap, A very good way, home evangelism is to give out tracts to our friends. And yet we are so lazy. Do you ever give a tract to someone? Dr. A.B. Dodd, who was a missionary to China, he always had a pocket full of tracts. And he would never leave a restaurant or a railway station without putting some tracts around for the people to read. And most interestingly, one of the tracts got a young lady converted, and she became one of the 10 most famous writers in China because he gave a tract. You never know. Very recently, the Far Eastern Bible College, on the 31st of March, or rather the 30th of March, we had a gospel campaign. Apart from 3 souls that came to the Lord and one who desired to know more, as they publicly profess, I believe 10,000 tracts were given out. And I think that's a greater work. You do not know, out of the 10,000 tracts, how many people would have read it and believed. And then later on, they get linked up to some Bible-believing church. Let us see that there are harvests of souls to be reaped very easily by giving a tract to someone. Secondly, the matter of personal evangelism is a very important thing. In all these citywide campaigns, Billy Graham or Louis Palau, they also go all out to bring the people in. And this is a very important thing. When we had our gospel campaign, suppose you are all saved and then we all go there and we hear John 3:16 and everybody agrees, yes. You never brought anyone in. Of course, there'll be no fish caught. You are already inside the pond. You are in the fold of the Lord. This matter of personal evangelism. Don't speak to some soul and especially bring them into the gospel meetings is another very important feature of reaping on the home front. The third thing is a pulpit emphasis. Here I'm speaking to preachers and I'm speaking to myself. Sometimes they preach and they talk of this thing and that thing and very beautiful things. But the one thing that's missing is a cross. They never bring in an illustration from the life of the Lord or from his work. And we talk of everybody but Jesus. Let those who are preaching from every pulpit of the DT Church, always remember to bring in the cross of Jesus Christ, his saving work, and questioning them whether they have accepted Christ as a Savior. When I was young, I heard good sermons. And my grandfather used to preach, being a good Presbyterian minister, believe and be saved. But somehow there's no question, are you saved? And in my heart, her reaction was, how can it be so easy? Just believing and you'll be saved. You must do good enough. Here comes a cross to tell us that there's no one who is able to do good enough to be saved, but we need the saving work of our Lord Jesus Christ, who was willing to go up on the cross to suffer for us and pay for the penalty of our sins. That is the only way of salvation. That is the only power to save us. Let all those who speak from this pulpit be reminded to give them the word of life through the death of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. That is a reaping. And we must always ask them, are you saved? Somebody who is not saved tonight here, you do not know whether sins are forgiven or not. This question will haunt you all your life. And I thank God that that question was put to me. Except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God except he be born of water and the Spirit. He cannot enter in the kingdom of God. That is a way where we reap the souls in. Second aspect is by overseas missions. And here we stress on missions, but if we do not go all out with the purpose of winning souls, our spending much money on missions also will be lost. Let all those who are going into the missions, in the mission field, realize that heavy responsibility. We go there in the mission of Jesus Christ to go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. And I have this personal experience. In my younger days, I would go to Malaysia very often. And sometimes, in the course of going right up the Moa, then there are adjoining towns that needed me. Now, instead of being unhappy with it to say, this is another burden, I felt it was a great joy and honor. Like going out, a salesman, you know, you've got more contacts, you sell more, then you're happier. So I was very happy. Of course, when you got too many calls, then you cannot stand. So finally, on the trip up to Moa, they gave me Batu Pahat, Parit Jawa, Moa, and Rawang. When I was younger, of course, I could take it. And so early morning is Batu Pahat, 10 o'clock. You go to Parit Jawa, 2 o'clock. Then you go to Rawang, 4 o'clock, and they come to Trinity, 8 o'clock. So by the time you finish 10:30, you have taken a bath and then you lie just flat. But the joy was there to say, well, today we have a good field to sow. Unless we are of that purpose and determination. But the Lord doesn't always give us four fields. In no time, the Lord brought it down to three, and that was more manageable. But we thank the Lord. Overseas missions, we go across the straits. And especially these near missions are a wonderful way of training our young people, those who love the Lord, and they would like to have a part in missions. We are so thankful that our Malaysian outreaches, and then now Batam and Bintan, Island, that is where you go to Tanjung Pinang and Tanjung Uban. All these places, I thank the Lord for young people and even elders, deacons who are willing to go and minister to them. This proves that they are really serious-minded. Many people go to missions the first time just to see the land and then come home. But if you give a second time, it qualifies you as really meaning business. And you go the third time and all the time. Praise the Lord. And that is also the way to reap the harvest, because they are waiting. And we thank God that you hear from Batam how many are now coming to the Lord in the three churches there. You have the biggest church. And another sister, Roska, she has started two churches, wooden churches. In fact, three. But now we have concentrated them in two churches at Batu Aji and Tanjung PIU that we dedicated last Lord's Day on Palm Sunday. And you can see our photograph, how many people gathered for the occasion, even from the Indonesians themselves. Then we have distant missions, like going to Myanmar, Burma, Indonesia, in West Kalimantan and so forth, and where we build a new church for upcountry in the Chin State, about 700 miles north of Rangoon. And on the day of dedication, there were 500 people who came. Well, that is a church for the village, and crowds will come to hear the gospel. How wonderful. They are waiting to be harvested. But conversely stating, Jesus says, I must work the works of him that sent me. While it is day, the night cometh, when no man can work, if we do not harvest. Then, when the opportunity is taken away from us, then what will happen? Jesus said this at the healing of the blind man whom he sent to the pool of Siloam to wash. And when he washed his eyes, immediately he saw clearly and he came back praising the Lord. And Jesus was very happy because when he said this to the man born blind, perhaps it was in the afternoon and the shadows are lengthening, and that reminded him too, he must press on. If he did not heal this blind man, well then there would not have been the wonderful result if he just passed by. But he took trouble to touch him and heal him, so that there was great rejoicing and this matter was broadcast to all the people there. But if you do not, then it will be too bad. There was a rich young ruler, and he wanted to have both worlds. He wanted to have the riches of this world. He wanted to have life everlasting. And Jesus said, very good for you, but there is something more. Sell all you have. Come and follow me. But he went sorrowful. He was gripped by his own ambition, by his own ideas. He would have taken the place of Judas Iscariot, I thought. But since he did not, God surely chose St. Paul. There are even church elders who advise the young people, oh, don't go to Bible college. Get your university degree first and get yourself well qualified. That is not the philosophy of teaching of the Apostle Paul. He said to young Timothy that from a child that has known the holy scriptures, they're able to make you wise unto salvation. Well, I took that philosophy. So we started this FABC for those with high school, A-level. Come in, train you, be well trained and get the degree. And now if you want to go for further training, very good. You have already been strengthened in the faith. If you do not do that, the night cometh when no man can work. When the night of selfishness and ambition that draws you to a good reputation as having attained in your academics, by that time, you might have lost a zeal and you won't. If you don't take advantage of the time that is given to you. I have a graduate of our college and revealed to me that his church advised him, you better get your degree, then go to seminary. But he came to FBC and he's ever so glad. He says, I'm glad that I came to have my faith strengthened so that now I can go for higher studies. But if I went to the university, I would have lost the zeal. Which is very true. If you don't take advantage of the opportunity, and there are young people here, they have been thinking about serving the Lord full time, and then your parents will say, oh, no, no, don't do that. You must get your paper qualification, and when you go to the university, you have already lost your zeal. While we are serving the Lord, let us realize, when the day is bright, when the opportunities are here, do it all our might, through giving, through praying, through visiting, to supporting anything that is advancing the gospel of Jesus Christ. Some years ago, I already spoke to our own people in Life Church. And I said, I feel, times are not going to be as free as now. The day will come when you may not be able to send money out into the mission field. Well, there are now certain restrictions given that you must spend at least 80% of your church money. And then after that you can send to the mission field. Whereas, that good churches give half of their offerings to the mission field. somehow that has been the measure. I've read so many accounts of churches that are zealous, that somehow it ends with giving half, 50%. But now we are not able to do it freely. The night cometh when no man can work. And I would say that if you can support missions now, do your best. All the time will come when you are not able to do it. Now, one of my appeals to people to serve the Lord is to speak to those who are just around, you know, 50, when retiring age is coming soon. I said, the best thing is, in America, they say when they come to a middle age, you like to have a new job, you know, and have different circumstances. I said, the best thing is you think of serving the Lord when you retire. Because by that time, you would have learned all the lessons, almost all the lessons of the university of life. By that time, your English will have improved so well, not as young people, they are still green. By that time, you would have known so much more Bible. Isn't it wonderful to serve the Lord like this? And I got one convert. Up to now, one convert. You know who he is? Elder Khoo Peng Kiat. And his preaching is getting better and better. The people in Melbourne would have ordained him. Only he is a very humble person. And he said, well, I can serve like that. Nevertheless, what a wonderful life it is. But I would like to give you another example. He is a retired inspector of schools, Elder Leong of a Presbyterian church. And upon his retirement, there was a good opportunity for him to go to Saipan because he speaks fluent Chinese as well as fluent English, being an inspector of schools. And the wife was just as willing. Yeah, in our retirement, what can we do? The best is to serve the Lord. They went to Saipan for 10 months while Brother Kok Hiong is in one church and he has much reaping. He is in another church with a lesser reaping, but all the same, they have done a marvelous job until they came back. And one of our recent graduates, Chin Un of Malaysia, who marries one of our students from Thailand, then they were called to Saipan too. They went. So Elder Leong and his wife said, we have no more place to go. That has been our place. Having met them, I said, you say they have no place. I got a nice place for you. It is Kuantan. And those of you who have gone with me to Kuantan, there were 84 of us in two coaches. Then I said, the half of this beautiful place has not been revealed to you until you come today. Of course, with such a beautiful place, most of you would say, I feel called to Kuantan. Maybe. But the whole point is that we really need somebody to take care of the place now that it is inaugurated and completed. And our brother and wife were so happy. We would be very happy to be doorkeeper of the house of the Lord and would be very happy to do personal evangelism here. Suppose he did not make the decision upon retirement to serve the Lord. And I was a government servant before, and I always said to my congregation, suppose I was in government service, and at 55, I would be retired, whether I like it or not. I belong to the older generation. I have been retired. Now it is, 60 or 65? I said then, at 55, they retire you and you go home. What do you go home for? To wait to die. Did you realize that? You are no more useful. You are retired. Then you go home to wait to die. And it is true. Those who retire have nothing to do. They just wilt away and fold up in no time. Well, those who reap for the Lord in the second verse. And he that reapeth receiveth wages. Gathereth fruit unto everlasting life, they will reap the fruit of everlasting life. When you serve the Lord, you no more have those moments to think of death. Don't you ever think of death, those of you who are advancing in years? You must. Somehow it will come to you. But when you serve the Lord, you have no time for this. You always go on course, like the plane of going upwards. We are trying to make ends meet in fulfilling the programs of the Lord. You have no such thoughts. So you preserve your youth. When you think of dying, you get older. But when we think of the Lord and His work, we get younger. And the youth in you is proved by the health that the God gives you. And I want to testify to you that I'm so happy to serve the Lord. Were I in the government, or did I come back as a lawyer and join the PAP, and I'd be very ambitious for all those high positions, and it is for fame and power, I think I'll be a miserable person now. But serving the Lord, we receive wages. Good health and strength is all from the Lord. And together with health is another age. When you serve the Lord, you are a happy man. Happiness. So tonight I would like to impress upon you, upon this church, upon each individual. If the Lord is calling you, follow Him. He'll bless your life. The church's program, let us realize that we are far behind time. Oftentimes, we just laze away, we just drift along. And instead of accelerating, many times we are procrastinating. They say, no, we cannot send so much money there, and we cannot spend, we must, have a good account. Then you're going to be a debt. See, just keep the money to yourself. Many Chinese churches are like that, and they are so happy. Our banking account is going higher and higher. Or if it is something, renovating a church, of course, we'll give, or buying church property. Giving to missions, giving to evangelism, giving to those that are not much connected with us insofar as personality is concerned. Oh, no. He is not a lifer. We cannot give him. The result is the church will go down. But we thank God that by going out to reap in good time and taking good advantage of the situation, the Lord truly has blessed us. And the time is now. The night cometh, and no man can work. And the night is a night of that will blanket this whole earth with a dark cloud of war and bloodshed. It is later than you think. So let us give ourselves to the Lord and hasten now to do what He wants us to do. Let us pray. Almighty Father, we thank Thee for Thy word to us, that the harvest is white and even going to die. All the souls of men that need our go out to gather them in. Bless this church and bless our report on Batam and other aspects of this mission's work. In Jesus' name, Amen.